SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, everybody. We are live from Las Vegas, Nevada. It is Sports Grid Live here at the BetMGM Sportsbook. We'll bring you this action all week. I'll be having guests with me every single day here at BetMGM Sportsbook. Look at this setup. Looks great behind us. Hopefully, we all look good on camera for you. We're here to set the tone for the entire week, bring you the lines, the props, the stories, and everything else that we'll see all week related to Super Bowl 58. But what we first want to do is build how these teams got here, and I'll do that all throughout the show. Dave Sharapan's going to join me a little bit later this hour. We're going to have Donnie Wrightside with us in the second hour, but we are excited to be here with you all week, every single host from Sports Grid pitching in. So let's get down to the brass tacks. We have a game here that is a Super Bowl rematch and a repeat winner from last year. Is that possible? Well, in the first 39 Super Bowls, we had 8 repeat winners. In the last 18, a big fat zero. See if Pat Mahomes can run it back here for the Kansas City Chiefs. But obviously the Niners are looking to get revenge from a few years ago. There are plenty of changes on both teams. We recognize that. But the core of these teams still together. The coaches, change at QB for the Niners, obviously. But Patrick Mahomes, a big part of the Chiefs' success. And we'll break down his stats a little bit later. But how did they get here? And how did these odds stack up throughout the preseason? I think it's important to note that both of these teams were expected to be pretty close to this position. Both divisional favorites. They both closed it out. Maybe not with style points in the Chiefs' case, but 11-6 regular season record. The Niners at 12-5 were favored all the way through. As far as their conference matchups going into the season, the Chiefs were expected to win the AFC. Perhaps not by the time we got to the playoffs, because the Baltimore Ravens had such a great regular season. The Chiefs obviously able to overcome them just a week ago and make it back to the Super Bowl here in Las Vegas. But the Niners, there was a little bit more doubt when it came to their chances for the Super Bowl. As we got closer to the regular season, the Niners were 10-1 to make it to the Super Bowl. Obviously, their NFC odds, the Niners were still pretty short, plus 350. So we have both of these teams favored to win the conferences as we got close to the regular season. And here they are. It's rare that we've had that instance. Generally, you have a team like the Eagles coming a little bit out of left field to make the Super Bowl like they did a year ago. But we find ourselves landed here. The Chiefs were the favorites to make the Super Bowl from the day the Super Bowl 57 ended all the way up until the regular season. Obviously, peaks and valleys throughout the season, but they find themselves back in this position, even though at some point people thought, well, this offense isn't the same as what it was. Are they going to get back to this spot? And here they are. They find themselves trying to repeat, yet they are the underdogs. We've had underdogs win cover in 5 of the last 7 Super Bowls, so certainly a possibility here. Their last Super Bowl, it was 2022, it was a year ago, and this is their second in four. That was their second in 4 seasons. The Niners' last Super Bowl win was 1994, so we're looking at a team that has 29 seasons of not being able to close it out. The Niners obviously are looked at historically very favorably. They play off their history very well, but for it to be nearly 30 years since they've won their last Super Bowl is shocking to some. They obviously, their last appearance was 2019, a loss to the Chiefs, and then 10 years ago, they lost to the Baltimore Ravens. So one other thing important to note regarding this stadium, regarding the location here in Las Vegas, these teams at Allegiant Stadium, 5-0. Something's got to give, right? The Chiefs 4-0 at Allegiant Stadium. The Niners won their lone appearance against the Las Vegas Raiders here in Las Vegas in week 17 of the 2022 season. So right now, the spread sits at a +2. We've seen fluctuation throughout the week, down to +1, back up to +2. The Chiefs as that underdog, +110 on the money line if you're looking at your BetMGM app or at the BetMGM Sportsbook. So what about some of the other numbers? Obviously, I have a sheet here. You can see this little handy-dandy tool. It's 11 pages of props. Not going to get to them all today, but we will get to them all throughout the week and give you all different types of angles. As far as the total is concerned, 47.5. And that thing is in concrete right now. No movement. I was on with Gabe Morenci and Teddy Covers yesterday. We talked about it a little bit. Maybe it was peaking towards 48, but right now, no, sir, 47.5. I think it's a pretty sharp number, and I think that's what you see oftentimes with the Super Bowl is not a massive amount of fluctuation. Whatever movement we saw happened early on with some big wagers, but we sit at +2 right now. Much of the public money will come in over the weekend. Just Tuesday right now, as you start to get to Thursday, Friday, is where you see a massive amount of public money being bet closer to kickoff. So that's where we sit right now. Chiefs money line at +110. So you've got Patrick Mahomes as an underdog plus money on the money line. That's really a position that I like. I'll tell you early on, it's a difficult Super Bowl to handicap because we know both of these teams are good. When you talk about the Niners throwing their best pitch, they seem like the best team, but you have Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, a proven duo. Travis Kelce, if you want to throw him into the ring, obviously a proven number of championship players and coaches on this Chiefs squad, but you're getting them at plus money right now. Obviously a great position to be. What we're going to do throughout the show today, build up, set the tone here. We'll talk a little bit about their playoff odds, how they got here throughout the playoffs, and what we've seen recently from these teams, because I think it's really what's impacting my decision the most, not necessarily what the regular season looked like, but how have they looked as of late? What are the recent trends? We talk a lot about recency bias, but is it extremely important to note that these teams have maybe not played their best football? The Niners in particular have not played their best football during the playoffs, but the Chiefs locked down on defense, obviously delivering everything they can to stop Lamar Jackson and stop other of those key players on their opponents, like the Buffalo Bills, obviously, before that. So when we come back, we will talk about the playoffs. Dave Sharapan will be on with us to talk props. We're going to take a look at these coaching matchups. We'll take a look at the all-important field, which in this instance, I don't think we'll receive the criticism that we saw a year ago, like we saw in Arizona, players slipping and sliding. Not the case here at Allegiant Stadium. There's been some stories about the Niners practice field, but right now, Allegiant Stadium, I can tell you, it's a tremendous venue. Obviously, here at the BetMGM Sportsbook, a tremendous venue, but Allegiant Stadium, really looking beautiful here these last couple of days. A rainy Las Vegas, but we don't care about the weather when we're inside. It's been a week that's building quite a bit. More and more crowds coming in. We'll have more and more action on Sports Grid all throughout the week as well. But important for us to deliver all of the action and all of the lines as they're laid out right now on BetMGM Sportsbook. So clearly the number one prop that people like to talk about when it comes to the Super Bowl, beyond the line, beyond the total, Super Bowl MVP. We'll break that down. Beyond the quarterbacks, what does that look like? Is it Christian McCaffrey, Patrick Mahomes, and Brock Purdy, and the discussion ends there? I don't think so. I think we're looking at potential long shots like Isaiah Pacheco, like Deebo Samuel. What kind of odds are they getting right now? What is the real possibility of a non-quarterback to win a Super Bowl MVP? In fact, four of the last 10 Super Bowl MVPs have been non-quarterbacks. So there's a perception that it is, totally dominated by quarterbacks. Not really the case. A couple of wide receivers just in the last 5 years. Cooper Kupp and Julian Edelman among them. So when we come back, we'll take a look at the playoff runs. How have they looked recently? Why do I have some doubts about the Niners? Why do other people have doubts about the Kansas City Chiefs? Mike Blewett, Sports Grid, live from Las Vegas here at the BetMGM Sportsbook. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back, Sports Grid live from Las Vegas here at the BetMGM Sportsbook. Let's take a look at the playoff runs, how these teams got here after these regular season divisional titles. We'll start it off with the Niners. Niners earning that number one seed. They got the bye in the wild card round. And then what happened next? We saw a little bit of a fluctuation in their dominance, perhaps, when they were dominant earlier in the season. They hit a little bit of a valley mid-season, and by the time they get to the end of the regular season, we're like, the Niners are fine. But were they? When they played the Green Bay Packers, we had a serious issue with them looking like they might actually lose that football game. They end up getting the victory, but what did we see from the Niners? We saw perhaps a team that was a little overconfident. They thought they'd go up against a rookie in Jordan Love, and walk over them, but that wasn't the case. Niners trailing in the second half of that game. It took a couple of late interceptions by Dre Greenlaw to take out those Green Bay Packers, who are a team next year that a lot of people will be looking at. So beyond that, then they get to the next game. We have them. Yeah, that's the divisional round, and obviously they get to the NFC Championship game, and they go up against the Detroit Lions, a team that we thought, all right, great story for Detroit. They made it to San Francisco, but the run is going to end there. It's not the way that game started, for sure. 17-point lead at halftime, and then we all know about the crazy comeback, a massive third-quarter explosion by the 49ers, and then ended up closing it out in style with a 34-31 victory. So that's how the Niners were able to build their way to the Super Bowl. Kansas City Chiefs, on the flip side, they don't earn that bye this time around, and they get to the wild card round, walk over the Dolphins in freezing cold weather, 26-7 victory, and then move on to beat the Bills in another classic, 27-24. And again, the Chiefs are trailing in a lot of these games. They are a team. Both teams, I would say, I'd take a moment to say, both teams really built to play from in front. The Niners, very much a team that likes to be in front, a high-scoring first-half team. The Chiefs as well, and both defenses have proven to be very good in the second half, particularly the Chiefs. That will be a theme that I talk about all throughout the week. Chiefs second-half defense, Chiefs fourth-quarter defense. That's going to be the theme that we talk about all week. But the Chiefs, obviously, with the come from behind victory against the Buffalo Bills and then against the Ravens, a 17-10 victory, which was a game that, you know, we're used to talking Lamar Jackson and Patrick Holmes, offensive explosion, not the case at all. 17-10. Chiefs go on the road, punt five times in the second half, do not score, and win the football game. So an impressive performance for them defensively. Steve Spagnuolo, another guy that we'll talk about a lot this week, and how he's able to make adjustments to slow down the opposing offenses. So that's how they got here. I would not say that the Niners did it with style points, but it's a survive and advance type of league, and they are here to try to revenge that Super Bowl from a few years ago. Chiefs, same way. Perhaps not the same style points we've seen in the past, but what we have seen is a team built on running the ball effectively with Isaiah Pacheco, concentrating on what they do best, which is throwing the ball to Travis Kelce, who went 11 for 11 in the AFC Championship game. It's a much more concentrated offense than we're used to seeing with Kansas City, because Kansas City typically will utilize 7, 8, 9 players in the offensive passing game to target, but not really the case here. Pacheco, Kelce, Rashee Rice having an excellent rookie season. That's what we're seeing from the Kansas City Chiefs. Occasional use of Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Justin Watson, but it's few and far between. And thoughts of Jerick McKinnon coming back look like that may not happen. So the running game is really on Isaiah Pacheco's shoulders, the occasional touch from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but obviously he hasn't been effective for most of the season. So where do we go next? I'm talking about the concentration of offense. Well, we have playoff leaders, and obviously many of you out there may have already bet who will lead the playoffs in any particular stat. And so far in passing yards, it still remains Jared Goff. Jared Goff with 837 passing yards in his three playoff games. He leads Patrick Mahomes, who has 718 yards through his three playoff games. Like I said, Isaiah Pacheco, a big part of the offense, not throwing the ball quite as much. They scored 27 points in a victory on the road in Buffalo, a game in which Patrick Mahomes only threw the ball 23 times. So not a prolific passing attack that we're used to seeing in 300-yard games and all of that. Brock Purdy, through his two games, 519 passing yards, obviously very effective in the second half against Detroit. Moving on to the rushing candidates. Isaiah Pacheco, probably the guy I'll talk about the most this week. 35-1 Super Bowl MVP odds, and he sits at the top of the NFL playoff leaders at 254 rushing yards. Christian McCaffrey, his counterpart on the other side, 188 rushing yards thus far through his two playoff games. And then finally, the receiving leaders. And no surprise at who's right near the top of the list other than Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce with 262 receiving yards. I would hope he'll be able to pass him on Ross St. Brown for the NFL playoff lead at 274. But look, don't count Travis Kelce as the leader too fast. We have Rashee Rice right there on that leaderboard. Right down the list, Rashee Rice with 223 receiving yards thus far. It's going to be fascinating to talk about these receivers all week. Both offenses are fun to talk about. Everybody knows about both offensive coaches. Kyle Shanahan versus Andy Reid will be a big discussion point for us, and how the script of those games will play out, how they're able to go up against the defensive coordinators and Steve Wilks and Steve Spagnuolo. But what I'm really fascinated about is a rookie like Rashee Rice. Can he take advantage of the Niners' secondary, which has historically been a strength for them, but at the moment, perhaps not the strongest part of their defense? Additionally, on the other side, we have a player like Deebo Samuel, who's utilized in a variety of different ways and can be an explosive player and an MVP-type player for them in any given game. He's going up against, in some instances, Snead and McDuffie, two corners who for the Chiefs, I think, are still somewhat underrated. They are not the most high-profile defensive players on their team. Chris Jones, Nick Bolton at linebacker, obviously get a lot of headlines. But Snead and McDuffie, big part of what the Chiefs do defensively, and I think it's going to be really important to note them throughout the week. So that's why we take a look at the NFL playoff leaders. Is there a world in which Rashee Rice will have led the NFL playoffs in receiving yards? Absolutely. Certainly not the guy that too many people were betting on, I would imagine, but for those of you out there that have those odds a little bit longer, good luck to you. So when we come back, we're going to have Dave Sharapan. We'll go through a variety of different odds that we just talked about. Like I said, 11 pages of props, and I'm sure there's more coming. So if you want to talk about what color the Gatorade is, probably not your show. We're going to get a little bit deep into what can be winners for you out there. What are those odds that are positive expectation? When you come to a game like this, where you have two teams that in recent history are very successful and both teams expected to be here, you do not see a lot of positive expectation bets. There aren't that many out there. So I love that you folks are out there loving to play long shot parlays. Listen to us a little bit. Let us guide you as to some of those bets that are perhaps a little bit sharper to make. And I think Dave Sharapan's the perfect guy to have on to talk about that. So he'll be on. He's all geared up. He's ready to go. I'm looking at him offset. He's got his gear ready to go. He's promoting Vegas. He's promoting the Super Bowl in the best way possible. And we'll promote the Super Bowl in the best way possible through getting you some winners. So we'll all take a deep breath. We'll make sure we know exactly what Dave has in store for us, and we will continue to talk about different angles throughout the day. Super Bowl MVP on the slate, the coaching comparisons on the slate, and everything else that you need to know about Super Bowl 58 live here from the BetMGM Sportsbook. It's Sports Grid Live from Las Vegas. Again, here all week, Dave Sharapan coming up next. And we'll be back to talk lines, totals, Super Bowl props, and more with my guy, Dave Sharapan, the Sportsbook Consigliere, back right after this from the BetMGM Sportsbook.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Once again, live from Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Sports Grid Live from Las Vegas, and I welcome in my good friend, Dave Sharapan, the Sportsbook Consigliere. How you doing, buddy?
Great, Mike. Great to have you back in the city of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You wore the suit and everything. You look great.
Thanks,
sound
buddy.
Great.
Thanks,
Super
buddy.
Bowl in Las Vegas.
I know. You're promoting the city very nicely. You've got the
big
hat.
Big game tonight, too.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking about that. But, yeah, it's 21 years here. It's home.
Right. So that's really how I wanted to start the conversation with you. For those that don't know Dave is somebody that was in the risk room taking bets for decades and a variety of different places, but in Las Vegas for many years, correct?
Yes.
Right.
Started downtown, made my way off the strip, back onto the strip, back to West Virginia when PASPA passed.
Yep.
8 weeks back east. Nope, back to Vegas. So for the last, literally, this is year number 21, I've been here in a sports book for like 18 or 19 of them.
So how crazy is it for you to recognize that for all of the history that we had with this sport and gambling, there was still a resistance for it to show up in Las Vegas. And now in the last 2 years, you and I have been sitting right at this desk, live at the BetMGM Sportsbook, doing the NFL draft,
yep,
and now the Super Bowl of all things.
It's surreal. I can't really describe it other than it feels strange to have it actually happen.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you see the sheets, right?
Yeah.
These are a big part of betting,
yeah,
for apps. Pro Football Championship 58. It
That's
doesn't
right.
say Super Bowl.
That's right.
We were never allowed to say Super Bowl.
Right.
They went around and measured the TVs to make sure they weren't too big. Otherwise, there were fines.
Right.
Now, there's a stadium across the street that they're playing the biggest game in.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in a time warp, but in a good way.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's just a couple of miles away, Allegiant Stadium,
yeah,
where Dave and I are. But so we'll
are
get
we going
to, these...
to the game?
I am not. I have to fly back to do one of these shows for my fine people. So I'll be flying back. Hopefully you get to the game because Dave lives here. I got to fly back. And what better way to spend Super Bowl Sunday with my friends in studio in on the East Coast and having you obviously pop in for a segment or two. So let's just talk about the game. I really set the tone for everybody, how the teams got here during the regular season, how they got here during the playoffs. We can get a little bit more granular if you like, but I like you to talk about the number because it opened, came down to the Chiefs, wavered back up in the Niners' favor, but still short of a field goal, and you got Patrick Mahomes that is a money line underdog.
So what used to happen before all these apps and all these options was you would make a number Sunday night based on what you saw.
Right.
Throw it up there and let the razor blades, the sharp guys, bet whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
And they would kind of lead you the way.
Sure.
The look-ahead numbers changed all that. The look-ahead number for Chiefs Niners was three.
Three and a half was
off the market. Three was it.
Right.
You watched the two championship games and you thought, at least I did, and a bunch of guys that are in town still doing this, go, boy, the Niners can be run on. I don't think it can make it three. Plus, as the book, you don't want to start on the three. You want to end on the three,
right?
But you don't want to get there early and then have to worry about getting off of it. So you open at two and a half.
Right.
Chiefs money initially, down to one. And then you see what's walking around here. Have you noticed it?
Oh, it's overwhelming.
San Francisco people, I was at the stadium last night. They're out in full force.
Yeah.
That Bay Area money's already here. And it came at one.
Right.
So the number went back up. It's two and a half in a couple places. It's not going back. I'd be shocked if it goes back to three, but there is no chance that it's going back. Like, Kansas City will never be favored in this game. No way.
Correct. And so, yeah, boots on the ground here, so everybody knows it's overwhelming right now. The number of Niners fans versus Chiefs fans. Obviously, it's a little bit to do. San Francisco to Vegas is an easy flight, and I think there's people are more influenced. Like, there was no team here for many years,
correct,
right? So, yes, people have jumped on board the Raiders bandwagon, but people formulated their own affinity towards different teams, and there were Niners fans here, right? You have people that are our age that were Niners fans that grew up Niners fans, and they're happy to have the team now in their home city or home state, as it were. So, good background there on the number itself. The total has been sort of hilarious because the second I saw it, I was like, well, that's the sharpest number of all time.
And
I don't think it's going to move. It hasn't moved an inch.
You could make a case, and we could do shows for as long as you want, why it should bet over and why you should bet under. It is a perfect number.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really wanted to just put up a number and then just take the bets and let the chips fall where they may, 3-47 is plug and play.
Right.
Let's go.
That's right.
The biggest game of the year. San Francisco, the perception, power rating, a little extra. Make them three. 47 is one of the hardest numbers to beat, period, for an NFL football game. A lot of combinations that can fall 47. You decide.
Of course.
You're getting great two-way action. That's what you want as the book. You don't have to move the number.
Right.
Biggest game of the year is the easiest game to book in the world. There's enough volume for everybody. Perfect number.
25-23 is sort of what the implied is. 47.5. It's not high scoring. It's not low scoring. It's right in the middle. So
right.
It's up to you. As Dave said, it's up to you, the better, to decide, well, how do you think the game's going to turn out? And the book will just sit there and happily take your money. I think they'll get even. I mean, it's the goal, right? You're trying to give it as even as possible.
Well, yes and no. The unique thing about the Super Bowl is you have all this future money that you've been taking bets on, NFL futures, for a year.
Yeah.
If you do it right, and a lot of places have done it right, you have a position already. It's win big or win really big. You have a head start on the side. So you can manage the risk to how you want to need the game. So if it's our book, Blew It and Sharapan Incorporated, we should do this at some point. If things go bad, we'll do it. Just saying. We get a license. It's all good. We say we want to need the under. Let's go to 48 and control the way the bets will come. The bots will bet it. Different things like that.
Yeah.
We can need the side we want. Right now with the total, they've chosen to just let the chips fall where they may.
Plus, talk about futures. You have a 6-1 Super Bowl champ and a 10-1 Super Bowl champ. It worked out beautifully. The Lions, honestly, they would have had some exposure there. They weren't a terribly long shot, but still not a team that people expected to win Super Bowl. People like them to win the division for obvious reasons, and they got it done. But Lions to win the Super Bowl, something that's never happened and something that they didn't even approach in the since 1957, clearly there would have been some exposure there. So, all right, so that's where we go. And obviously, we'll get into some more props a little bit later. I talked about the quarterbacks and receivers and running backs and how much yardage that they've racked up thus far. But the next most bet after the line, the side, and the total, we're talking Super Bowl MVP, right? That's where people are going to gravitate to next.
Two things that everyone has an opinion on that comes in for the Super Bowl or bets it wherever you're at.
Yeah.
The MVP.
Yep.
And the coin flip.
Yep, I knew you were going to say that.
Hands down, the most bet on number of bets, props, every single year. And it's crazy because there's only two options for the coin flip. How many options do you think there are for the MVP? Because there's not many more than that, Mike. It's a quarterback award, yes or no?
I would push back a little bit on this.
Okay, fair.
I'll push back a little bit on this to say
that. Tell me why.
Because in the last 10 Super Bowl MVPs, four have been non-QBs. We got two wide receivers and two linebackers. I understand they are the favorites.
No, the number.
And if the Chiefs win, and by the way, the Chiefs' previous two Super Bowl wins, guess who was the MVP? Patrick Mahomes. So Damian Williams, honestly.
It could have.
The last touchdown was a garbage touchdown to get him over 100 yards. I get it. But believe me, there was an argument there in a game in which Patrick Mahomes threw two interceptions. Just saying.
He still got it. He threw two picks, and the guy had it, and he still got it.
Cooper Kupp, Julian Edelman in the lowest scoring Super Bowl ever.
It was one of the biggest wins I've ever seen in my career. That Super Bowl?
Yeah.
That lowest scoring one ever?
Yes.
Like, we can't have that in this, right?
No, I don't think so. But I'm leaning towards a lower scoring game than, like, I'm under.
Under 47.5, okay.
But I don't say that with a lot of conviction. I just talked about it. It's the sharpest number I've ever seen.
It is.
So your boy is not going to load up on the under.
Right.
I'm leaning that way because the defenses have, I think, are a big storyline here for me personally. The Chiefs' defense is a big storyline. Brock Purdy up against an excellent defense is a big storyline for me personally.
Big pass rush, everything. Yeah, I mean, this absolutely. is this the best Chiefs defense of their little run here?
I think the corners are fantastic. And I think that's what Brock Purdy is going to have to deal with. I think it's why Debo becomes a bigger part of it to tie it back into the MVP. You have Debo Samuel at 25-1. There's a world in which Debo doesn't have to work on the outside against the corners necessarily. He's inside potentially against players like Nick Bolton. And that's a challenge as well. But I think they would mix it up so much with Debo and obviously Christian McCaffrey that those are areas in which you can lean for an MVP that's not the quarterback. Now, I say Christian McCaffrey and Isaiah Pacheco are guys that are in my discussion of Super Bowl MVP. But to your point, it's both quarterbacks and McCaffrey. Those are the short odds for Super Bowl MVP.
Exactly. It's not a defensive player. I would lay off the defensive player bets. People love them.
I know.
I'll never forget the Polamalu run when I was in the book. We just couldn't make the number low enough. They kept betting him. There's always one.
Yeah.
I don't know who would be this year. You should have interviewed for the Raiders offensive coordinator position. The way you broke that down with the thing. I mean, could you live here? You've come here a few times.
I love it.
Could you?
I love it. It's a little hot. I'm a pale dude, so I got to load up on sunblock.
You've been not been here in
the
summer.
You want to get me an endorsement deal for, like,
working on it,
some
Mike,
sort of sunblock deal?
Yeah. Could we do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It blew it a deal.
So so that's where we're at for Super Bowl MVP. The QBs, Christian McCaffrey, a big part of it. I will, throughout the week, make a case for Deebo Samuel, which I was just doing, and Isaiah Pacheco, who had 28 touches in the AFC Championship game. Dave loves when I talk about the bombs. Let's throw some Hail Marys, folks.
Yeah.
It's the first hour of the first show.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, folks. We're back. Sports Grid live from Las Vegas, live at the BetMGM Sportsbook with our resident expert and Las Vegas resident, Dave Sharapan. He's the sportsbook concierge. Took bets for decades, 21 years here in Las Vegas. Obviously, we gave some background on him and what it's like to have the Super Bowl here. You know, I'm a little numb to it only because it was a big step for us to be here for the NFL draft a couple of years ago, and we were right in this exact spot, but has to be even more surreal for you and guys like Matt Peralt and Teddy Covers, who I spoke to yesterday, just to have the game here in your backyard is awesome. But the stadium looks brilliant, all in black with the logo emblazoned across it. Raining here in Vegas, but again, we got a roof over our heads.
Control the weather.
Right.
All right,
I mean,
but at least we got a dome.
Help a brother out.
We're going to see the sun tomorrow. It's pick 'em to see the sun, and then it's not going to warm up, so get used to that.
Okay. All right, so we talked about the lines, the totals, the Super Bowl MVP.
Yep.
You were talking about there's only a couple of options there. So the book, to your point, is going to give me all this defensive player bets that you can get.
Come on in on Kittle.
Yeah.
Come on in on Kelce.
Yeah, no tight end has ever.
Right.
No tight end has ever won.
Yeah.
So, but Kelce's such a big part of this offense,
right? Of course.
He could lead the entire NFL playoffs in receptions. He could lead the entire NFL playoffs in yardage. So a really important part of their offense. The Chiefs' offense, and then you see the Super Bowl MVP odds up there right now.
Yes.
Mahomes, Purdy.
Chris
and McCaffrey.
Jones.
The Chris Jones thing. People are going to love that one. Brandon Ayuk is interesting.
Yes.
But I just got through talking about the corners and how good they are. I have sort of eliminated him from my there's always a path.
Okay.
In my opinion, there's always a path.
Yeah.
I have eliminated him from real contention because I think those corners are too good.
Okay.
Is there a world in which he has an explosive player, too? Of course. But against the Lions, it was the luckiest bounce of all time to get him 51 of his 68 yards.
Longest reception,
it's not
cashed on that in that game.
That's right.
His yardage cashed on that catch.
So,
like, it was, there's one or two plays that have happened in Super Bowl history that literally change six figures to seven figures on one play. Like if there's a safety.
Sure.
Yes or no.
Yeah.
One of the sharpest, the razor blades love to bet the no.
Yes.
They go in with the book with that. If there's a safety, I mean, the groan, audible groan is something I'll never forget. When Peyton Manning's first snap was a safety on the first play of the game, we were stuck almost $500,000 that day.
Right.
On the first play.
So Peyton on the first play, Tom Brady early in the first quarter against the second Giants Super Bowl, intentional grounding in the end zone.
Oh.
He had a safety. So, as you said, the razor blades love the no.
Two Super Bowls in 30 years have the books here lost.
Yeah.
That Giants Patriots was one of them because of that play.
Yeah. So safety, obviously, a big one. A lot of people like to get in on that. And the octopus play, which is the same player scoring a touchdown and a two-pointer. Which
you like that one?
I hate to bet it. I'll bet the no all day, but it happened last year.
Right.
Jalen Hurts did it last year.
Yes.
So it can't happen. Yeah. So, again, audible groans from the book. So as we get into it a little bit, we don't have to break down entire Super Bowl MVP. I think there's a path for Isaiah Pacheco, okay, who touched the ball 28 times. But, again, that's 35-1. Debo Samuel's 25-1. I say all of that to say there's a path, but know that the chances are slim,
right,
in which that could happen.
Right.
The last running back MVP was Terrell Davis. 1998 season.
Ooh.
It's a long time ago.
I was in this the Caribbean century, working this, down there then back in
this
the day.
Century of the 24 winners, 9 have been non-QBs. So we've got 5 wide receivers and 4 defensive players in that period of time. So when we start to talk about some of the other props, though,
yes,
I want to get into these with you right now. We have give me a sec, because I want to bring these up right now with you. We have players like the players that we're talking about for Super Bowl MVP. We're going to start talking about their props specifically. And you have somebody like Kelce, who's a big part of storylines on the field and off the
Absolutely.
Field. It feels like more than ever we're going to see bets concentrated on a player from people of all walks of life, some of whom may not even have placed a bet before, are going to be getting down on Travis Kelce. Am I right or not?
All the time.
Yeah.
One of the most fun things about the job in the book is when someone comes up to you and says, hey, I've never done this before, but I want to bet on Travis Kelce. How do I do it?
Right.
You can bet his receptions. You can bet his yardage. You can bet whether he scores a touchdown or not. You can bet whether he throws a pass or not.
Yep.
You can go pretty deep on Travis Kelce. What you can't do, at least here in Nevada, is bet on whether he's going to get engaged after the game, which a lot of times is discussed at the window.
Sure.
But it's like, no, we don't have that. You can bet whether he's going to get a personal foul, Mike, at some books. Like, you can bet all kinds of things. What books have done has made micro betting, like, intricate on players,
yeah,
where there's popular, and that's what Kelce is.
Yeah, and that's a fun part of what you can do, obviously, yep, at the Super Bowl, is you don't just have to pick a side. In fact, last year, I'll tell you, folks, I placed a, you know.
Was this the exact score?
No. That was.
Oh, Mike.
So Dave patting me on the back here. Rams Bengals Super Bowl. I got the exact score. Bet the exact score, which I do not recommend, except for fun, maybe on the Super Bowl. And your boy did it for fun, 100
from
to 1.
From a guy who hit it, 100 to 1.
100 to 1. I'll never hit it again.
Biggest score, so, right? Single ticket odds thing you've ever hit is 100 to 1, right?
Yeah, I mean, 20 yeah. bucks to make you $2,000 is a hell of a day, right?
Yeah.
So, but last year, I really struggled going into the game with picking a side. I really thought it could go either way. So I avoided that. Of all the things that you could bet on, you're like, don't you have to pick a team for a Super Bowl? I will do it here, but I don't have to bet it.
Right.
And I'm telling you, everybody, it's just advice to everybody that, look, if you're not really sure who's going to win, but you like other angles of the game, focus on the other angles of the game.
Absolutely.
I like Jalen Hurts to throw a ton of yards, so I bet the ladder on Jalen Hurts, which means you're betting him at over 250 yards, over 300 yards, over 350 yards. You can bet that all the way up the ladder. Things like that can be appealing to you.
Okay.
If you think Brock Purdy's going to have a great game, then in addition to MVP, why don't you bet his yardage all the way up? Maybe he does take advantage of these corners, and your guy is way off. I don't know. You know, the important thing to know is we talk all week, we give you solid advice,
that's all,
but we don't have a crystal ball.
Nobody does. The guys in the risk room don't. Anyone at the counter does not. The book doesn't know. You can have an opinion, but you don't have the crystal ball. There's no script. There's none of that.
Right.
Especially for the biggest game of the year.
Right.
I think officials could decide it. They did last year. That was a late, interference penalty. I thought Philly was going to win. It determined the game, but it wasn't what caused the outcome.
I agree.
And that's what a lot of people get caught up in. I don't know whether the first pass is going to be complete or incomplete. Do you like these ones that are settled early? Those are ones that a lot of people were like race to 10, race to 15, in the in the basketball. People love those.
Those are not for me.
Okay. All right.
Those are not for me. But what Dave's saying is you can have a race to 7, race to 10, race to 20. So the first team to get to that score, you can win on. I will say last year, because both offenses I expected an over, and both offenses were explosive.
Yes.
I bet the score in first 5 minutes.
Aha. Uh-huh. See?
I mean, by the skin of my teeth.
I love when you let your hair down a little bit and explore these other parts of the options.
And Jalen Hurts scored a touchdown with 9 seconds to spare on that bet.
Right.
But when you look back historically in the last 10 years, and the odds will reflect this on BetMGM app and BetMGM sportsbooks,
yep.
It's the 7 to 8 minute mark when things start to crest. We've had three scoreless first quarters in the last 10.
Wow.
So that's worth noting, including a high scoring game where we had a scoreless first quarter. The Pats Falcons, the comeback, 28-3, no points in the first quarter of that game. That was a 34-28 final, scoreless first quarter. Atlanta lit them up in the second quarter, and that's why we got to the inflated
score. That was one
score.
Of the best sports events that I've ever been in the book for, the energy for that. With them being down at halftime, the amount of money that we took at halftime bets, I'll never forget.
Yeah.
And them coming back and the energy.
I'm sure.
Anyone that had Falcons was just slumped over like this.
Yeah.
And you just couldn't stop it.
Well,
and then it landed on three.
My guy Matt Ryan was on the other side of it, so I really didn't love it. Yeah. But for all of you that were able to cash in on the comeback, congratulations. So I would love to your thoughts on the game.
Yep.
Obviously, you've given us your perspective,
yep.
but when it comes to a side, it comes to a total. We'd love to have some perspective for you. And by the way, Dave was on here because it's his town. He sets the tone for the week for me and gives you a perspective on what these numbers actually mean. But yep. I'd love to know what you think they mean in terms of a side and a total.
Side-wise, I'm with you right now. I haven't decided. And I don't know if I'm even going to play it. It'll be an in-game dream if I'm somewhere where I can actually just bet it and maybe bet both sides at one point.
Yep.
Lay 2, take 10.
Yep.
Lay 4, take 11. Just try to play a middle.
Sure.
Because I think it's going to trade scores.
I
really do.
Yep.
I'm liking over right now. I could be talked into the under if the number gets to a certain point and try to do that with that. There's old staples that doesn't matter the matchup for props. Under 1.5 for the shortest touchdown, staple. There's interference in the end zone pretty much every game.
Yep.
You get a 1 yard plunge, it's not the tush push, but.
But both teams are likely to use a running back in that
exactly.
scenario. Pacheco,
yes.
McCaffrey, and even Debo.
If you're determining, trying to figure out how the game's going to go to get to a side, if Kansas City can run the ball, they're going to win the football game. That's the handicap for me.
Yep.
I think Purdy's going to have issues that can be overcome. I think Mahomes is going to have success. But their second half is what, 17-2 to the under? The Chiefs are 17-2 to the under in the second half.
Fourth quarter, 19-1.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's so you know the way the game is supposed to go. Chiefs get out to an early lead. San Francisco scuffles. San Francisco comes back. The game's determined in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Unless the one thing that will change all of that, Chiefs get Pacheco going, control the ball, limit possessions for San Francisco. Who wants to bet against Patrick Mahomes? I've heard it all week.
I'm not going to reveal it right now, but everything right now, but that is the plan. It has to be the plan. Against the Bills. All right, hang on. Against the Bills.
I love when he does this.
The Chiefs were outpossessed, time of possessions, 37-23. 1 week later in Baltimore, opposite way. Chiefs 37, Baltimore 23. I think Todd Monken made some huge mistakes in his approach, but they were forced to throw the ball because they didn't have it as much and they were ineffective early. But I think they should have run the ball more. You shouldn't panic when you're down 10 points, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs have won those two games in vastly different ways, by speeding up the offense and scoring 27 points in 23 minutes, and then scoring 17 points over a 37-minute time of possession game. And I think that is the key here. With an explosive offense like the Niners, they're going to try to limit possessions. Why would you want Christian McCaffrey to keep toting the rock? And he has 28 possessions? That's a recipe for disaster. And the last thing you said, if I'm in a position where these teams are trading scores in the second half in the fourth quarter, then I've been way off. They should send me home to New Jersey and New York right now. But thank you for being with us. Thank you for being with us. Great to have Dave Sharapan on. We're going to have Donnie Wrightside on in the second hour. We'll close it out with Warren Sharp right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. We're closing out this hour with a little information from Warren Sharp. The Chiefs, a team that was historically able to come from behind, but become a little bit more of a team that maybe needs to play from in front, just like the Niners do. Here's Warren with a little information on that trend.
If we look back to this Kansas City Chiefs team back in 2019, this team won 3 playoff games by erasing double-digit deficits. And not only did they erase double-digit deficits, they also then won those games by double digits, all 3 of them. It was absolutely remarkable. Even if we look at last year's Kansas City Chiefs, they went 5-1 when they trailed by over 7 points in any one of their games. This team has been capable of overcoming deficits until this season. In 2023, the Kansas City Chiefs are 2-4 when they trail by more than 7 points at any point in the game. And the only 2 comeback wins that they have are over backup quarterbacks that do not have a lot of experience. We're talking about a rookie, Aiden O'Connell, and we're talking about Jake Browning for the Cincinnati Bengals. That's the only 2 quarterbacks that this Kansas City Chiefs team was able to beat if they fell behind in a game by more than 7 points. They aren't built to come from behind. They are one of the worst passing offenses in the NFL when they try to throw the ball over 10 yards downfield. They're also terrible when they're playing with a deficit at any point in the second half in terms of their passing efficiency. So one thing is clear. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes must start fast. They must continue to push that pedal down. And more than anything, if this year is a guide, they're going to struggle if they fall too far behind.
So there you have it. Warren Sharp on information about how the Chiefs may need to play from in front from this Super Bowl. Thought the Niners were that team. Maybe the Chiefs are that team too. So who grabs the lead first? How important is it to grab the lead? 5 of the last 7 Super Bowls, the team that took the lead ended up giving it back and losing that game. So a big part of what we'll be looking at in this Super Bowl is who gets off to the best start. Who's got the lead at halftime? Do these defenses really lock teams down in the second half like what happened in the AFC Championship game? Hour 2 will feature Donnie Wrightside and me.